think, you know, the takeaway during that, like, very precious experience was to see also how the tech ecosystem in Southeast Asia evolved over time, and in particular also how product management practice expanded and how there were more and more people picking up the job.
Hey guys, it's Trish from Monktus. Don't miss great tech stories from our guests and our hosts, Jackie Nimenk and Wato Delbarre, only here at Monktus Nation.
Welcome to Monktus Nation Season 2. This season is all about tech of the future. We'll be sharing real-world experiences and featuring astounding guests to help guide you in your tech journey. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The show starts right now.
Hello, everyone. Here's for another day of unearthing remarkable and inspiring tech stories from today's star of the show. Now, our guest for today is a tech and startup advisor and the ex-CTO at Zalora, Asia's leading online fashion, beauty, and lifestyle destination. But without further ado, listeners, please help us welcome our guest, Sylvia Thum. Hey, Sylvia, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being a guest in our show. We're so glad to have you here with us today, and we're actually excited to have this talk with you today. You know, you have a very interesting career involving startups and technologies, and I'm sure we're going to touch a lot of those points later on in the show. But before that, Sylvia, can you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm originally from Germany. I was born and raised there, did my education there. I got a business degree, and after that actually moved abroad. So pretty much spent my whole career, the last 15 years, at first in Europe, and then I moved over to Asia. So I spent a good 2 years in Tokyo. And since 2013, I'm based in Singapore. The second half of my career, I spent here. And I actually spent it with Zalora this whole time. So I was with the company for 9 years up until the end of last year. And since then, I'm dedicating more of my time to a range of companies, mostly startups in Southeast Asia, advising them. And yeah, it's really fun to go back to the roots and explore the startup environment.
Nice. And have you always been interested in pursuing a career in tech, Sylvia?
No, actually, I first started more in the media and entertainment industry. So I was, even while I was studying, I started with some internships at record companies. Did that for a few years, but figured out that it was very difficult to build a career there.
More difficult than in tech.
for sure. Because, you know, tech was growing, whereas the music industry was rather shrinking, at least as far as, you know, sales and making money was concerned. So I think, you know, unfortunately, I picked the wrong decade. I persisted for a while, but in the end figured that it didn't feel like it was leading anywhere. So I was lucky that one of my colleagues from a record company, he also switched to the startup scene. He joined a startup. It was a crowdfunding platform for music projects. So, you know, somehow it was a super unique opportunity where it married both worlds, like the music industry that I came from, and it opened the door to work on a digital product. And I was able to do that in Japan. They were looking for someone who was based there, and the team was based in Europe, so someone really who could connect between both worlds and business cultures. I think I was super lucky. It was so unique, you know, to find this opportunity. So I went for it, and that was really my introduction actually to working for a startup and into digital product management.
And before we go maybe into that a little bit deeper, I do want to understand what attracted you to the music industry, Sylvia?
I think it's simply, you know, being a teenager in the 90s, where there was like, you know, the 80s and the 90s, where there were like some very successful decades in the music industry. I'm sure you know.
So great music. Like that.
Yeah, really great music coming from those years. Still now, right? When you switch on the radio or when you look at the best-selling albums, I mean, it was really...
Came from that time.
Came from that time, exactly. So I was inspired for that. I was young, it looked really interesting and entertaining, but I didn't know anyone in the music industry. So that was the other thing. Like, I really had no relatives or I had no idea how to get actually a job or an internship. I literally just wrote a couple of letters in the beginning and at some point it worked.
And you just went with the flow.
Yes.
Well, that flow took you from music and media and entertainment to fashion. How did that turn out? How did that go?
I think the theme there is overall that I always worked on consumer goods that I was interested in. So, you know, I wasn't exactly looking for a fashion company. It just kind of, I just was more interested in the product management side of things. Mm-hmm. But I could relate to, you know, what they were trying to build at Zalora, because there's a, you know, there's a pretty famous company in Europe, Zalando. So it's modeled after their success story, or in the US you have Zappos. So I was familiar with those sort of like, companies who were already ahead a few years in. I think they were less known here in Southeast Asia. So for me, it was a bit easier to imagine like what this company could become, what Zalora could become, because when I joined, they were less than 1 year old. So it was still very raw, you know, on trying out things.
It was also a startup.
Definitely, yeah, very much a startup.
And when you say, Sylvia, product management, and maybe also for the listeners, could you maybe describe a little bit what that means in your world?
Yeah. What I mean is really the, you know, definition of product management that comes originally from Silicon Valley, where you have one person on the team who overlooks the product, who makes sure that the vision is there, a mission is followed, and brings in all kinds of people, brings together all kinds of people that then work on this product and make it happen. And so I worked on software products, so mostly, you know, the teams that a product manager is looking after, several engineers and UX designers, but it could be also people from the marketing side. I think that's also a bit of a theme in my career, that I always love to work with these, like bringing people together with different skill sets. So and my first job actually working on a digital product, I didn't even know what product management was. I didn't know the term or the job title. And then only with the next job, I realized like, oh, okay, there's a whole profession, there's a whole practice out there, expertise. But product management has obviously also, I've given a very generic, I think, description that sort of summarizes the last 15 years, but obviously it's also like a very evolving practice. Yeah, and depends on the company as well.
And I guess it requires you to understand the business as well as the tech, right? And really put it all together. Now, but then you evolved into an actual CTO role. And how did that differ? But also, how did that happen?
Yeah, I think it's important to give a bit of context because I myself didn't think that I would become or have that title CTO. That was not on my radar up until the company actually asked me, do you want to take over the lead for the whole engineering team? So at Zalora, we had a setup, and actually also now after I left, the company has still this setup where product and engineering are reporting into the CTO. And there's a couple of other companies who also follow this organizational design. But what it meant for me was that I was all those years at Zalora actually also quite exposed to technical leadership, what that means. And I think over the years, the lines got a bit blurry as well. And obviously, I was working side by side with the previous CTO. And so kind of as my responsibilities were expanding and I was helping him on various topics, I grew very organically into the role. And then at the beginning of 2019, took over. But yeah, I had to adjust my mindset actually quite a bit, because for, all those years before that, I had in mind, okay, I love product management, I'm gonna stay, I picked this as my career path, and so maybe I'll be a CPO one day. But the CTO, the kind of little turn into having a lot of technical responsibility, I didn't quite foresee. But it was, I think, by far the biggest opportunity I had in my career, and I'm really happy it happened. Yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of lasted for 9 years.
So I guess what I find a bit unusual as well, I'd love to maybe see a statistic, but I'm guessing 99.9% of CTOs have a tech degree, right?
Yeah,
but you just described how you had a business degree and how you evolved into that. But I can imagine that brings a whole different perspective to that job, which is quite important as well, right? So most tech people's go business, you went the other direction.
Yeah. And you know what? I think this was also sort of the biggest impediment in my head, that I only knew of more traditional CTO profiles. Computer science degree or something similar was usually the baseline, and they had worked as a software engineer before and then, went up the career ladder. This is the majority of people that I knew. Now, I think, since I stepped into the role myself, I've definitely also came across a number of examples who had also different career path. And I think it's also a bit of a theme of the last couple of years that there are CTOs who have maybe still very few who have a business background, but definitely some who maybe started with a technical background and then did an MBA. So try to catch up on the business side later on. And yeah, for me, it was the other way around. So I first had this business background and spent a lot of time there and then learned the technical side of things. Yeah.
Which is also very, very good, no? And ideal in that situation. And now, Sylvia, a lot of people know Zalora. And as CTO of Zalora for 9 years, what has been your biggest takeaway for having been involved in such a, from a startup to a big and well-known company?
Yeah, so I was at Zalora a total of 9 years, but CTO I was for the last 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. So the first 6 years were in product management. And I think, the takeaway during that time was a very precious experience was to see also how the tech ecosystem in Southeast Asia evolved over time, and in particular also how product management practice expanded and how there were more and more people picking up the job. And then these last 3 years as CTO, I think the biggest learnings were more on a personal level for me, where what is it like to be part of a C-level team in a company? What is it like to run a large organization? Because the team was, when I left, 260 people. So it's very different from, you know, most the team size that most product teams lead. And then obviously also catching up on some technical topics like security. I was more involved in the infrastructure than before. So yeah, it's a very different set of learnings.
And when you started, how many were you? So you and now as a lawyer is like 260. Do you still remember back then how many you were when you started Zalora?
I mean, the whole of Zalora, you know, it was actually even in the first year already a pretty big company, with like more than 1,000 people. And now I think it's not exactly 2,000, I think a little bit less than that. And the engineering team when I started, we were maybe between 20 and 30 people based in Singapore. And yeah, that grew then over the years. For a long time, we were 120 people. And one of the last things that I did at the company was then scaling it again to like 260 people, which was a very interesting experience by itself, because it's just like another big, you know, milestone that you take, and it changes the collaboration and how the team is set up quite a bit.
Join us as we change the game of global outsourcing.
A platform for businesses to connect and collaborate.
A space specially designed for you. You can sign up as a vendor for free.
Only here at Mangtas.
Your curated marketplace for B2B outsourcing solutions. Join us now at www.mangtas.com.
Nice. And talking about outsourcing or veering towards outsourcing, was there anything at the start, or even, you know, before you left, any services that you outsourced rather than kept in-house?
Yeah, actually we had for a number of years just a few individuals here and there who came from an agency, but then exactly this scaling process, so to go from 100 plus to 200 plus, it was partially done with external teams from software development agencies in India or across Southeast Asia. So that was really the first time where I think we started to work with agencies at scale. And had to figure out how do we onboard actually like a larger number of people? How do we, you know, go through that, like assess the talent, find the talent? I think it wasn't so easy. Yeah, in the beginning I thought like, okay, I'll just ask my friends. I have pretty decent network and I'm sure they can recommend me some good agencies, but that wasn't actually the case. So we really had to like start from scratch and sort of like try our luck who's a good partner.
And what were the interesting, Sylvia, that you mentioned that, what were the challenges that you faced when you started outsourcing?
Some of the challenges are that I think every organization has their own definition of what's a senior, what's a junior person. So you have to figure that out then with the agency partner. Mm-hmm. What's their definition? And it also very, I mean, there's actually many variables that come in, like the particular type of service you're looking for. Let's say we were looking for specific programming languages like Golang or PHP developers or iOS or Android developers. So I think there is then also, different range of years that they've been working in this particular language, and then their overall work experience also comes in. So I think this was something quite time consuming, to figure out, do we speak the same language? Are we on the same page? Yeah.
And apart from the skills, were there any other details in particular that you were looking for that ultimately led you to make the decision that, okay, this is the right agency to partner up with?
Yeah, I think it depends very much on the account manager. I think that's a very critical person, whether it's someone who's very responsive and really listens to our needs and then picks the right talent to collaborate with us. So it was very much about that. Yeah.
And
would you consider your overall experience as successful, given that you were actually to scale up and double? I mean, I'm sure it was a rough ride, but
yeah.
Was it ultimately a successful thing, outsourcing to agencies?
I think it was successful in the sense that, we managed to bring in the number of people that we needed to augment our teams. But obviously, yeah, I learned a lot along the way that I would do differently right now. For example, I don't think we were that well prepared with the whole onboarding process. We had something in place. We talked about it as well. We had some initiatives to improve it because we knew that we had never onboarded such a large number of people within a year. So I think in theory, we knew that could be a potential weak point. But then it was very tough because you're busy in your day-to-day, and I think we were still falling short in preparing 100% for it. So now this is something that I tell other CTOs, right? So when they tell me, like, okay, I'm trying to scale up my team, it's one of the things that I tell them, like, okay, make sure you have a good onboarding process in place. This is something that we underestimated. And sometimes even I think the design of the organization, keeping an eye on the individual team sizes, and sometimes you also need to make changes there. It changes a lot in how people work together. I think that was also quite new for us, and a big difference, I would say, if your team is always growing like at a constant pace over the years, which is what we had at Zalora, it's one thing. But if you're making a big jump, and that can be from 20 to 40 people, or that can be from 150 to 200 people, but it's a, like, if there are these big steps, I think that's really one thing to consider. Yeah. And I probably a lot of people underestimate, including myself, when they're doing it for the very first time.
And so, Sylvia, so beyond advising CTOs, you also advise startups. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I so when I left Zalora, one of the things on my to-do list was to go back to the roots. And that meant for me, number one, catching up with the startup ecosystem here in Southeast Asia. I think it was difficult for anyone in the last 2 years during COVID, obviously. But for me, it was also, I was so busy at Zalora that I didn't have time for this anymore. And I was always very involved and very passionate about community work. So I simply started with, checking back in on my network and meeting a number of people. And I realized that Some of them have started their own companies. Some moved into new startups, and it's a really like vibrant community, lots of exciting companies out there. And it also made me then decide like, okay, I do not want to focus and kind of like put my experience to work for one venture. But I was trying to figure out like, okay, how can I be more involved with several companies, you know, and support them throughout the different phases. So for me, it's also very satisfying because that means I can jump into different business models. I'm not focusing on one industry. I find that very exciting. And then also the companies are at different stages, even though most of them are pretty early stage, but they're still like they're at very different points in their company journey or in their product journey. And I like that variety. Like, yeah, it's a good challenging stimulation.
Is there a general theme though? Like, are there specific types of companies that excite you more than others?
Or media and entertainment?
Or ventures?
No, I think it's maybe ask me again in 6 months. I don't know yet. For now, I think it's pretty much across the board. Yeah, it's a mix. Yeah.
So how do you select then? Right, like with thousands and thousands of startups in Singapore alone, let alone Southeast Asia, how would you select a specific company to collaborate with? How do you even start that journey?
How it gets started is typically like with lunch or coffee, you know, or someone sending me a message saying like, hey, these guys, they have some questions about tech, or they're a bit lost on tech. Like, you know, do you mind having a chat with them? And many a times it just stays actually a coffee chat and that's it. And, that's also great, you know, if that's mm-hmm. enough, like with a few pointers, they kind of know what are the next steps. But then how I decide is it's the most important thing for me is like, what can I bring to the table? So if it's a topic where I really feel like a fish out of water, because it's maybe an industry that or a business model that's like very far away from me, then I don't pick it up. And I also tell people, I think, you know, I will also be learning firsthand with you. I'm not sure, you know, that's the right setup to engage me. I think at the end of the day, I get also more, it's better for the venture, but also I get more satisfaction if it's a topic that I feel I can tap into my experience. But that could still be a range. Like, it could be working on the product side, working on a consumer product that I find very interesting. It could be more a coaching angle where there's maybe a CTO who's, on his first time CTO or trying to scale up a team and doesn't exactly know where to start or needs some help along the way. Yeah, these are the topics that I'm very interested in.
Nice. And Sylvia, you know, when you have these coffee sessions and you mentioned that, you know, they ask for your advice on certain things, what are the pointers that you find yourself, if there's any, you know, that you find yourself repeating to these people that ask for your advice?
I think finding good tech talent and hiring is a theme that comes up quite regularly. How do you hire? How do you find good tech talent? I mean, this is really around the globe, a stretch everywhere, like anyone you talk to. So obviously, I don't have a silver bullet for it either, but I'm just sharing, you know, some of the things that I did and
that
helped. Yeah, exactly. I think scaling up teams or maybe opening a new tech center in another city, another country in Southeast Asia. That's typically a theme that that comes up. Maybe not so much because it's super popular at the moment, but just because that's something where I can share how we did it at Zalora and what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think the other themes are really around tech leadership or product leadership, how to guide teams. Yeah, I think these are the three buckets that come up quite regularly.
Interesting, very interesting. And for like startups or who may want to come in contact with you, Sylvia, how can they best reach you?
I think LinkedIn is probably the easiest. Yeah. Actually, that's at the end of the day also how I got in touch with Magdas, actually. it can get a little bit busy on LinkedIn, but especially in the last couple of months, where I started advising, it's been like really resourceful to get introduced to new people, and to also get an idea of the tech talent out there and different companies. Yeah. I use LinkedIn.
I can attest to this. A message via LinkedIn and a coffee can do miracles.
Yeah.
And then also let me just put it out there that also during this time when Sylvia has started advising startups and tech companies, she also became a mom during the pandemic. Sylvia,
is that correct? That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I guess that's all for today's episode. And thank you so much to our listeners for listening. We hope you gained some insights or a lot of insights from today's episode. And especially thank you to our guest, Sylvia, for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you both. It was really fun.
Was fun too. And once again, this is Jacqueline de Munck.
And Walter Mubarak.
So stay tuned for the next episode of Mangtas Nation.
Thank you for tuning in to Mangtas Nation. Mangtas, your curated marketplace for B2B outsourcing solutions. Follow our social media pages to know more about us. Sign up as a client or sign up as a vendor and be part of this global B2B marketplace. Join us at www.mangtas.com.